Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe it, give me another amen.
Amen.
Today, God will speak to you. Say amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you are very wise. You have come to hear the word of God. Now bless the person, the Lord will speak to you. Specifically, He will address you. And He will address me too. Say
that situation,
that confusion,
that
bewilderment
will
be dissolved today in Jesus' name. As He said,
He sent His word,
and the word healed them.
Say
He will send the word to you today.
And it will heal you.
And it will make you more and more like the Lord Jesus.
All
right, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now let's take our seats. The Lord is good. We'll continue again from where we have been for a while. Revelations, we have been looking at the letter of Jesus to His churches, that is, the church as a whole, but different assemblies that He wrote, He asked John to write to. We have established again and again that this letter may have been written to churches, but the responses were actually required of individuals. He wrote the letters to churches, but the responses were required of individuals. That's why He will say, he that has an ear, let him hear. It's one person that He's speaking to, an individual. Even though the letter was written to the church as a whole, but He's saying each individual pay attention to what I have written. So you, is writing to you. So you have seven letters, seven different churches, but there is a lesson in each letter for each person. Are you getting my point here? That's it. Let's bear that in mind. And I just feel like saying it again. Remember, if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. It is not true that God does not discipline His own children, and that every negative thing, apparently, that comes into the lives of the people of God is the devil. It is not true that because of grace, God allows everything to pass. It's not true. Grace does not ever excuse our iniquities. No, it never does that. What grace does is to give us the power to obey. What grace does is to give us the power to overcome temptations. What grace does is to ensure that if there is a temptation, we can overcome it. Grace is the enablement to do what God wants. Grace is not that thing that makes everything go free. Very important. Grace does not mean that anything we do is okay. And God, you know, I've heard people that God would never rebuke a Christian. I don't know what that means. I mean, what do you call these letters? Are you getting my point? To these churches. When He said that, look, anyone who commits adultery with Jezebel, I am going to punish all of them. He said it clearly. He said, I will strike Jezebel. I will cast her on the bed of affliction. And I will strike her children dead. It was the Lord Jesus Himself speaking. So I don't know where we get some of these doctrines from. All right? They definitely cannot be true. The Bible doesn't give us that impression. When grace is manifested, grace tells everybody, depart from iniquity, and now you have the power to walk above iniquity. If you read I released a short sermon yesterday on our blog, which I titled, Is Your Faith Working? Is Your Faith Working? It is not about whether you are getting what you call results with faith. That's not what, you know, we have to get these things right. James said there are two kinds of faith, according to the classification of James. There is faith that is dead, and there is a faith that is alive. How do you know their faith? Now, listen to me. The two of them feel alike in the hearts of the people. The man that has faith that's dead thinks he has a faith that is alive. That is why on the last day he will say to the Lord Jesus, did we not cast out demons in your name? He thought he had faith. Are you getting my point here? But James said such a faith cannot save. And what is a faith that cannot save? The kind of faith that a man has, the kind of faith that a woman professes, all right? And it does not show in righteous works.
No matter how good he feels about his faith, if he does not show in righteous works, that faith is dead. And there's one brother that told me about a man in his office. He's a pastor in his church. Are you getting my point? And everybody knew him to be a womanizer. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, when women are coming, when he's coming, he'll tell women, hide. This guy is about to pass. And in his church, he's been ordained pastor. I know what he says. And he goes to a church where they teach this grace that, by grace, all your sins are forgiven. Listen to me. There are two kinds of sins that are forgiven by grace. The ones in the past that you have repented of, and the ones you fall into that you confess and walk away from. Anyone you sit in, it has not been forgiven. And God being good does not mean he tolerates everything. The goodness of God is manifested in a number of things. The Bible says that he is slow to anger. I found out, therefore, that anybody that God punishes, he has warned. Are you getting my point here? By the time God is punishing somebody, it's because he did not heed warning. Because the fellow developer Paul called itching ears and decided to go to a place where they told him or told her that anything you go do is okay as long as you pay your tithes. That money answereth all things. That once you give God something that is dangerous, he forgets his righteous principles and he blesses you despite your iniquity. Why? Money answereth all things. If the fellow keeps on listening to that, he or she is setting himself or herself up for punishment. He's asking God, please make me an example of your righteousness. The Bible says he's slow to anger, which means that by the time he killed Uzzah, in an instant, for touching the ark, they had been warning Uzzah before, beware of touching sacred things. That's the principle. He is slow to anger. That's the mercy of God, though. Number two, even though he's slow to anger, he is quick to forgive. Ahab, listen to me. Ahab so insulted God that God said he was going to wipe him away and his family. That Ahab repented. And God told Elijah, look how Ahab has humbled himself before me. As a result, what happened? God forgave him. But when he returned back to his ways of idolatry, his ways of wickedness, God had to punish him. Don't believe that stuff that the God of the Old Testament, what they call Old Testament, is different from the God of the New Testament. That thing is not true. It is the same God. He does not change. What gives us the impression that the God of the Old Testament is different from the God of the New Testament? It is not true. It is the same God, the same principles. He was kind then, he's still kind now. He was just then, he's still just now. What does it mean to be just? It means that the soul that sins, he will heal. That's just. The soul that repents, he will forgive. The soul that begs for mercy and bears fruit in keeping with repentance, he will wipe away his sins. He has always been like that. You say, what about the sacrifice of Jesus? Listen to me. The sacrifice of Jesus has always been the issue. What I'm trying to say is that even David was saved by the sacrifice of Jesus. That is, when David offered his own animal sacrifices, he was connecting with the sacrifice that Jesus was going to bring later. Are you getting my point here? The difference now is that you and I, all right, one, of course, David and co operated under a covenant. And Jesus came and gave us a new covenant to operate with under the same God. His principles have been the same. The advantage we have now in Christianity is that the Spirit of Christ now dwells in us. He said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, they have been released through Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It simply means that sin will not have dominion over me, over you, if we are of faith in Christ Jesus. It means we are back to the place where Adam used to be, in quote, all right? That Satan needed to come and explain to him how to disobey God. Satan is back to just simply being a tempter in your life and my life. In the lives of those who have not believed, he's a Lord. Look, the Bible said they are sold under sin. You are not sold under sin. You are sold under righteousness. But it does not mean you cannot walk out of it. If it was like that, then Jesus was not tempted. Because Jesus, even though he was righteous, he too was tempted. So we too may be tempted. That is the advantage of Christianity. It does not mean God now accepts any rubbish we do. When you know some people are close to judgment, it's when they start excusing sin because of grace. And Paul warned about that ahead of time. He said, are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? So there's nothing new that people are cooking up. I heard it preached that Ananias and Sapphira were not Christians. That was why God killed them when they lied to the Holy Spirit. That's conjecture. What did I call it?
Conjecture.
Yes, because the Bible says clearly they were believers. And here in the book of Revelations, he was warning Christians that none of those letters was written to an unbelieving group of people. They were believers. Please, let's take this Christianity serious. I heard a man preach once, which is I recommended some of his messages, but I don't listen to him much because of that. And that he used to say that if God does not punish America, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, now I don't believe that anymore. I believe that if God punishes America, he will have to apologize to Jesus Christ. I just say, you're in America, it's a free country. You can see there's freedom of speech. If you're a preacher, you can preach anything you like. Nobody will arrest you. But sir, this is not true. It's not true. It's definitely not true. Then to make God still judges people. And it says judgment must begin where? In the house of God. But it says, if we don't want me to judge you, judge yourselves. Like I said earlier, is God merciful? Oh, most certainly he is. But his mercy does not mean everything goes. His mercy means, number one, he's slow to anger. He wants people. That's the manifestation of his slowness and his goodness. He wants people. And number three, he's quick to forgive. Can I add something to it? You cannot postpone the day of repentance believing that you can forgive. Are you getting my point? That, okay, we will repent tomorrow. We'll continue iniquity today. When we have made enough money, we will now repent. That is what is called mocking God. It's mockery. You don't have faith. It's mockery. His slowness is when he's dealing with days of ignorance. The moment you are fully aware of what is going on and you still postpone the day of salvation, you have cut off his mercy in your direction. Are you getting my point here? It's called mocking God. Mocking God is that I know what is right to do, but because I've been told that he's slow to anger, his anger is accelerated when you have that attitude. Because I feel I've been told that he's slow to anger, I will now continue what I am doing, saying that he will forgive me after a while. The truth is that you don't know the day of your own judgment. Please, let's balance this Christianity. Let me say something to you. A lot of people you are following, not you, I don't know you, but a lot of people who are going around in town preaching nonsense, you know the truth? They are not believers. They don't fear God. And you think because he has a title, pastor, you will follow him. Not knowing that the man does not fear God. There are men who wear robes, who carry titles, they don't fear God. And they head churches, trust me, they do. I read the story, very funny story, in Melikarota's prison to priest. Melikarota said he was following a man. This was Vietnam War. I'm saying this story so that you be careful who you follow. Don't swallow every doctrine. Some people are preaching doctrines, they actually don't fear God in their own hearts. Melikarota said he was following this guy. The man was a sergeant. The two of them used to man a machine gun. So that guy was very brave, he thought. So he felt that, look, I must not show myself to be timid or afraid. So if the Oga does anything, they are dropping bombs. They enter the bunker, they won't enter. Enter the ditch, they will not enter. The man will stay there while bombs are being dropped, enemy bombs all around them. So he says that, me too, I must be what? Brave. So he followed that guy everywhere. Then one day he and the guy were going somewhere. So he noticed that this is a minefield. They mined the field. You know what they call it, minefield? They planted anti-personnel mines anywhere. You step on a wrong place, the bomb goes off, cuts off your leg or cut off your life. You know that kind of thing? One of those two things. So the man was just walking recklessly. So normally they teach them how to step in those areas. And they often, if it's your army that mined the area, you may have a map. They actually know where the mines are, so they can navigate it. So this man was just walking recklessly. So he stopped in there and said, sir, This is a minefield. I think we have to be careful. The guy said, no need. Say, why not? Say, I'm praying I step on one of them. I want to die. So Melikalotas realized that all the bravery, it was the man was suicidal. That's like, in life, be careful who you are following. I mean, warning people. There are people who don't care. They don't care. And you'll be following, they say, this man is it's a pastor. They don't know that the man does not care. He said, what's the worst that will happen? We'll go to hellfire. Eh? When we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. Believe me, a lot of people don't fear God. Be careful how you follow people. When anybody starts preaching to you, making it look like God has given us a license to walk in iniquity, he doesn't fear God. And he wants to drag you down with him. Like I said at that time, God holds you personally responsible for your life. God holds you personally responsible for your life. So he gave an instruction to a young prophet. He said, when you get there, don't drink, don't eat, don't come back. An old prophet said, the Lord said I should bring you back. He followed the old prophet. He died. The old prophet was there awaiting the day of his own judgment. Christianity is a serious thing. I was reading this Bible again today. He said, I rather you are very hot or you are very cold. Okay, that's what the Greek says. Either you are fervent or you are ice cold. So this normal Christianity, I don't like it. Ice cold means that I prefer people who have never heard the gospel who are just walking in darkness. To those who have heard it, claim to believe it, but they are not living a life that reflects what they believe. No, God said doesn't like that. That's what we have been looking at in this series. So let's take heed to all the things that we have been saying. It's for our own personal lives. I have a very strong feeling, very, very strong feeling. It's very strong that we have pushed God to a point where he doesn't have a choice anymore to release his anger and discipline his people. And these messages are going so that people can deliver themselves. That's all. That's all. When I was in secondary school, when we're little children in those days, they taught us about the iniquities of man. There were things I did not know would happen in my lifetime. I didn't know those things would happen in my lifetime. And this is what I now realize. There are also judgments that will happen in my lifetime that I did not realize will happen. Let me just make the point again. There is no other way to deliver oneself from God's judgment but to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, to walk in the fear of the Lord. There is no other way. You cannot use faith to claim deliverance if you have not used that faith to claim a life of holiness. People misuse faith. Oh, people, we misuse faith a lot. We think faith is about how I get something out of God. Read your Bible. The first thing faith is supposed to do for you is help you walk in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Like I was saying earlier, is my faith walking? It's not whether I produce a car for me. No, no, no. Because you see, faith is either living or dead. If your faith is living, the way you will know is living, it's not because of the knowledge you have. It's not because of the words you speak. James made it clear that those who profess dead faith, they are very good at prophesying. You say to them, there's no food. They say, come. I speak to you. Be filled right now, right now, right now. They speak with a lot of faith boldness, it appears like. There are no clothes. Everywhere, but it's cold. I speak to clothes. Come to them. Be warm. Be warm. I speak to cold in your life. Disappear right now. Meanwhile, the man has two blankets there. He's not releasing one. Why? This one is being saved for my own tomorrow. This is for this cold season. The second blanket is for the next cold season. And then if my children grow bigger, we'll add this blanket to each other. So I will prophesy warmth into your life. The truth is that his faith is dead. So I'm speaking words of faith does not mean my faith is alive. My faith is dead if my words that I'm speaking cannot change my character. If I say I believe in prosperity, yes, I don't have money now, I don't have much now, but I believe in prosperity and I keep on declaring the prosperity, prosperity. God says, fine, let me see how it is affecting your generosity. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That if you really believe in prosperity, you will be a cheerful giver, not somebody who gives only when they promise that he will receive something. Most people who do that thing, they don't believe. They are selfish people. They are investors. Like I say all the time, God never said, I love a cheerful investor. He said, I do what? I love a cheerful giver. I've heard people say that when you give, You have to use your faith to believe it is producing for you. You don't have any faith at all. No matter what you declare, because you are selfish. Faith, the Bible says, works by what? By love. If I'm not giving out of love, I don't have faith, I'm pretending. I am simply what? Pretending. So you want to check whether you have faith or not? It's not what I look. Yesterday I declared and money came. There are those who had faith more than you declared and money did not come. Why? Because God said it's not time for money. Sometimes we don't realize everything has its own time. Naaman brought stuff to Elisha. Elisha was at other times would have received. He said, but it's not the time for today. In the same manner, there are times you want to declare for money because you know it's a time to abase. It's not the time for big. No. So God just relax. So with all the faith that Jeremiah had, God said, no. Right now, I won't listen to that prayer. It's a time for judgment, not the time for mercy. With all the faith that Paul had, God said, listen, relax. Your faith will produce more grace for you, but I'm not removing this thing. With all the faith that Moses had, God said, you're not entering that promised land, forget it. So is my faith producing? Is it alive? It's not in what it's producing for me. It's in how it is changing me. The first thing faith is supposed to do for me is to change me. Are you getting my point here? So am I believing God for healing? Yes, the healing will come. Life is working in me. Do I really have faith? I don't check in how much have I improved between today and tomorrow, and from yesterday to today. No. How has it affected how I think? How has it affected how I behave? How has it affected my patience towards people? That's what faith does. The way you assess whether your faith is working or not, like Peter said, if these qualities are yours and are what? Increasing. You're adding to your faith virtue. You're adding to your to virtue, long-suffering, kindness, brotherly kindness, love, all of those things. Those are the things that prove that your faith is working. Those are the things that prove that faith is working. So let's continue reading. Revelation chapter 2. We read this one a number of days, but I have things that I still need to say about them, so we have to go over them again before we go to the next portion. Revelation chapter 2. Let's start from verse 12. We read this before. We'll just read them again. We'll stop at the end of chapter 2. Now, if we finish that, we'll now go into chapter 3. Because I want to talk about something today. It's unto the angel of the church in Pergamum write, the one who has a sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And I know that you hold fast my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, not many things, just a few, which makes it easy, all right, to adjust your life. Can I just say something to you? Each time in your life, God is saying one thing to you. Following God is very easy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's not difficult. It's not difficult. Listen, all you need is a heart that desires it. It's not hard. The Lord Jesus said, my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Following the Lord is not hard. It's not hard. Usually, it is one thing he's saying to you at a time. If you see these churches, he'll just pick one thing. And he says, that's the only issue. The rest of you, there's no problem. But hold on to what you have. Look, following God is not hard. No, really, it's not hard. Believe me. I'm sorry, let me go. I don't want to digress again. But let me just say to you, following the Lord is not hard. People say to show that you're a serious Christian, you'll go without food and water for 3 days. It's not Christianity. Following the Lord is not hard. I've heard people complain and grumble. How can I give church my whole January salary? What will I eat in February? Once you say that, God doesn't want... First, he never commanded it. Let's leave that one, number one. I can tell you that one for sure. You know I know this Bible small. Are you getting my point? It's unfortunate the way people talk. But the point is, let's even assume that the Lord will have loved it. I can assure you of one thing. If it's that grievous for you, he doesn't want it. As a rule, the works of righteousness are not hard. They are not. Sometimes people say, one brother said in their church, before they ordain you pastor, you will camp you somewhere, you will not eat, you will not drink for 5 days. I say, I don't want to be pastor in your church. Forget it, I don't want. I'll tell the Lord, is it ordination? I'm not going. 5 days, no food, no water. Like my mother would say, did you kill somebody? Believe me. See, Jesus said like this, my yoke is easy. And my burden is what? Is light. That's a matter of fact. It's only people who don't love righteousness that find it hard. If you have not made chasing women a habit, what is hard in it? In not doing, I mean, like, what is the big deal? Go and marry your own wife now. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not a big deal. And those who have chased 100 women, they've come at the end, at the age of 60. They came and told those of us who were young, say, don't worry, that is a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. Just conserve your energy. And the guy who told us that first, Solomon. And if you want to believe somebody, believe Solomon in that area. He knows what he's talking about. Let me say something to you. You say, can I go into the jungle to go and preach the gospel? Listen to me. If it's hard for you, don't go. Did you hear what I said? If it is hard, don't go. If you go, you will die. If you die, you will die for nothing. He said, what do you mean? Won't people go? It's not people like you that think it is hard. People like Paul, they were begging them not to go. They said, we will go. He said, they will kill you. It's not death. Those are the kinds of people that God sends to those places. Those that God sends to Maiduguri are not those who are worried about their Mercedes-Benz. Oh, no, no. Before God sends you to Sambisa Forest, He will make you dream of Sambisa Forest. You will love Sambisa Forest. You will want to go there. He works in you both to will and then to do. He doesn't like people who are struggling. I mean, He has enough problems with those who are willing to go for Him to now be struggling with those who are not willing. What the Lord does, first of all, is to work on your willingness. You know, Bishop Duke said something once. He said that people were speaking evil about him. And one of his daughters in the Lord was there, and she heard. So she came to him, and she was crying. Look at this. You know, this was years ago. I wonder how much more evil they will be speaking today. This story I'm telling you now is more than 10 years ago. People can now say more things if they want to speak now. So the lady now said to him that, we all know how you suffered. He said, I suffered. When? I don't know whether you get my point. He said, when I suffered? When did I suffer? He started laughing. So these people thought I was suffering. Now, listen to me. There were times that he didn't have food in his house. He didn't think he was suffering. Are you getting my point? There was a time he said church was not growing, things were not moving. He made everybody pray and pray and pray and pray. He didn't think he was suffering. There were times where he would give out all the money, every material thing he had for the preaching of the gospel. He never thought he was suffering. It was those looking from outside that thought he was suffering. I hope you are getting my point here. So if you ask some people, go and join him that time, you know what they will have said? I can't suffer. But he did not consider it suffering. Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. What was pushing Paul? I must finish the preaching of this gospel. So when I say it's not hard, I know what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's very easy by human standards. But for the person doing it, it's not a big deal. Paul now wrote later, he said, whether I have plenty or I have little, I am the same in the midst of both types of circumstances. I have the grace to bear abundance. I have the grace to bear the lack. I can bear both of them. So for him, it was not a hard thing. What am I going to say? So if you are afraid to go, don't go. When Jesus too became, in quote now, afraid to go to the cross, did he go? Where did he go? The garden. He did not go. The cross is hard. We are not going to go. What are we going to do? We are going to pray. He prayed until he wanted the cross. Christianity is not hard. Each time, God is just asking for one thing from people. That's what I'm trying to explain. Each time in your life, there's just one thing is asking from you. Maximum, two things. That's why Jesus said, man, when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Those who suffered for him did not consider those things suffering. You'll be amazed that a man sleeping on the floor in a cell where he'd been in prison for the gospel's sake is not more uncomfortable than you that's awake because power went off. Yes, I'm serious about that. I told you once I was watching The Passion of the Christ as they were beating Jesus. And Joy and my wife were with me that day. We were watching the film together in my house. And of course, two women. Oh, you know the way women can be at such times. Guys could just look like, now, wow, you know. Man. Some men would be looking like, These guys are tough, my God. And as they are saying it, they are biting the banana in their hands, they are eating, throwing groundnuts. But the women were like, oh, all for my sin, oh, my sin. Doesn't mean the men don't believe. Oh. They believe, they believe. It's just that they know this one is a film, so they know. So that day they were watching this thing, and the two women with me were all, of course, you can imagine. Oh. So I just made a statement. I said, it's not paining him. My wife looked like, which kind of man did I marry? You know that kind of? So what do you mean? I said, it's not paining him. The actor or the Jesus? I said, Jesus. How can you say it was not paining him? I said, it wasn't paining him. So all this beating is not paining him. I said, no, he's not feeling it again. You know my reason? I said, the time it pained him had passed. I said, he was in the garden. I said, this one, before the blood comes out, they have to beat him. In the garden, he bled. Nobody touched him. Pain, the part of pain that is important is the one that inside the soul, not the physical one. That day I said, look, it's not paining him. And what do I mean? By the time the will of God has soaked him, you're getting the point? By the time that will has soaked him, by the time he had drunk of the will of God and he was drunk with it, believe me, the pain, look, the soldiers suffered more fatigue than he did. Not because the cross was not painful, but because the will of God, having encompassed a man, the will of God, having overtaken somebody, makes the difficulties of life look simple. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is why you'll be begging Paul, don't go to this place. Oh. They will imprison you. Don't go. They will beat you. And he says, why are you making me feel bad? That is, the people with him were feeling more pain than he was going to feel. That's what the will of God does. That's what I mean when I said earlier that if you are afraid to go to Sambisa Forest, don't go. I'm not saying disobey God. That's not what I mean. I just mean you are not ready yet. No, you're not ready. You're not ready yet. His yoke literally is easy. And his burden is light. And that's why, believers, we have one assignment. Look, I've said this thing before. Let me say it again. You know, how am I preaching about this today? When I say that, look, following the Lord is not hard. You know what he said? My ways are simple to him who understands. The problem is a lot of people don't understand. They don't know how to follow the Lord. They learn methods. They learn methods how to pray. Methods how to do evangelism, method on how to give, method on how to get results, method on how to preach to somebody for somebody to be saved, method on how to grow a church if they are appointed a branch pastor. You learn methods, and we get overwhelmed with methods. But what, you know what James said? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you will grow thereby. You say, what does that mean? Let me explain something. Those days in Presidential Hotel, when they say had the gym there, I used to go there when the hotel was still functioning. I was a member of their gym. I used to go there. Then when my son Akindu was small, one day he came with me. Of course, kids are not allowed in the gym because of the metals and all of that. It's kind of hazardous. But daddy came with his mother. He didn't come with me. He came with his mom. So he saw us carrying dumbbells. You know, called dumbbells? I'm asking the women. You know what I'm saying? You people know. Okay. So, some of us, I like that. There's some of us. Uh-huh. Now, I can't remember the weight of the one my friends and I, one of my friends, we used to go together. We had this one, so you just carry the thing. So my son looked at it. And you know, men now just bend down. You know, that kind of thing. You know, just be walking out. So the boy came to where one of those things was lying down. So he wanted to pick it one hand. The thing refused to move. So he put two hands. The thing refused to move. Then he tried his best. The thing did not shift one bit. I guess he made up his mind, this one is screwed to the ground. So I drove him away from there. I said, better move away before you injure yourself. He didn't know it could be that heavy. He couldn't budge. He was very small that time. This was years ago. I don't think he was more than 3. Now, think about this. Will it make any sense for him to come and be checking the method for using it? I can once when we were in school. No, we used to know boys, know the way boys do now. So we had this small, you know, had this bulwarker, these things you bend, this spring you bend, the checks expand, that's all of those kind of things. So when they were at the back of the hostel, we were walking out. Some guys would now come, you know. I know we looked a bit lean that time, so my guy would just pick one. You know how those springs, right? If you hold close to the spring, it's very hard. You have to hold it at the extreme if you're a beginner. So we had been chopping the thing for a while. So at the end, you move your hand closer. So one guy came. He thought he was bigger than us. He almost ruptured his spleen where he was struggling with the thing. The thing will expand, hit him in the stomach. So very relaxed. You know what? He left the place. You know what he said? There's a trick you guys are using. I told him, so boy, there's no trick. It's called strength. You've not built your strength. Come back enough. After a while, you'll have the strength to do what we are doing. There is no trick. The guy was sure there was a trick. Because he saw the rest of us. What do these guys have that I don't have? I said, no, we have built strength in our muscles. So when we grab these things, we have become accustomed to right and wrong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? By reason of what? Use. This is Christianity. How will it be? Somebody wants to go, you know, like I said, want to follow the Lord. All of those things I've said, method on how to pray, how to give, how to do evangelism. It appears hard. When you see those who can do it, you wonder there's a trick they are using. But you know what James said? Desire the sincere milk that you may do what? Grow. What did my friend and my son need? Growth. He didn't need to come back to the gym with me. He needed to go back home and go and eat. Just continue eating. The reason why you can't carry this thing is that you're a small child. The reason why I can't is that I'm a full-grown adult, all right, who has exercised his muscles in this area. That's all. It's not about learning the trick. It's about just going home, eating regularly. If your mother says, eat your vegetables, eat it. Say, this soup is good. Don't say, I want ice cream. Then give it time. I mean, just 10 years, you'll be a teenager. You've gotten to a point where your muscles can start responding because you need some hormones to pump the muscles for you. Just wait. That's Christianity for you. Christianity is not about learning methods. A lot of people go to church, want to teach them how to. There's no how to. James said, feed on the word. You will grow to a point, everything will become easy. Now, why it is hard to us is that we put our energy into the wrong thing. People say, when you follow those who are doing evangelism, you will begin to, you know how to do evangelism. It's not true. Paul retreated into the wilderness. He went and hid somewhere. That was where he learned evangelism. Why? Simply because he had what to say. When he was there, he was built up by his encounters with the Lord. Evangelism is not a trick. It's just open your mouth and talk. Just say something that comes, that the Holy Spirit puts in your mouth, or just tell us the story of your personal life. I hope you're getting my point here. Believe me, Christianity is not a hard thing. The problem is that people put their energy into the wrong things. I've learned, I don't copy me. I don't copy anybody. Oh, God, no. You can inspire me. I don't copy anybody. In fact, I can't remember copying anybody in the last 20 years. But one thing I do is, no, you can ask my wife, ask those who are close to me. I listen to the word of God all the time. I am always learning. I am always learning. Now, yes, they rearranged some of the messages of Derek Prince I had on my phone. So when I was about to, I downloaded some new ones to fill up some gaps that I had. So I wanted to transfer it to the phone. I decided to count. I found out that in just one swoop, I was moving 122 messages of Derek Prince, which I know that over the next few weeks, I will listen to every single one of them. For once I look at it, what did he say here? I can't remember. I start playing it. I don't copy anybody. Gone are the days when in school, those days when they said that you have to do this, this is how you prophesy. When you pray, you keep quiet. The first thing that comes to your mouth, you say it, and then the rest you follow. I don't do such anymore. The Bible says, prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. Don't, not of your method, of your faith. This one, I don't understand it. I leave it alone. There are things I don't do. People say, no, I tried this in those days. When people say, I had this vision, just close your eyes. You speak in tongues until you fall asleep. And then your spirit will enter into the spiritual realm. I don't believe those things anymore. You know, I look back, I say, Bank, you mean you actually believe those things? Anyway, you're a child those days. You have to believe it for this season. I mean, you're asking yourself, what was Paul doing when he saw his first vision? He was fighting Jesus Christ. So now he looked for trouble. So Jesus came back to answer him. It wasn't being spiritual. The first time God appeared to Jeremiah, it was quarrel. Before you were born, I knew you. I ordained you a prophet. No, I can't speak. It wasn't like he was yielded. He knew how to connect. God gave him his own ministry in life. I don't know whether I get my point here. Christianity is not hard. Trying to copy people and do what they are doing is unnecessary. The only thing you're supposed to do is just to, one thing, not even two things. Just feed on the word. Love the word. I am careful not to say obey the word. You know why? The word works obedience in you if you really love it. If your heart is really for that word, when it enters you, it works obedience in you. Christianity is not hard. When they were going to fight the Midianites, you know the first thing Gideon said to them to reduce the army? Say, if anybody is afraid, go home. That's what he said. If anybody is afraid, what do you do? Go home. So the guys checked and said, man, I think I'm afraid. And the Lord was not angry with anybody. Christianity is not hard. It's only hard for those who don't love righteousness. If you actually love righteousness, it's not hard. God has only one thing he's asking you to do. Just love the word. Feed on the word. He will correct you. He will move you. He will transform you by himself. So that when it is time to go to Sambisa for evangelism, you'll be the one begging, please, you go and join the church that you know they have branches in Sambisa. You now start negotiating, please, when will you post me to the northern part of Nigeria? Okay, we need people in Mina. No, I don't mean Mina, sir. I'm talking about, okay, so go to the, no, the Meduguri axis. No, your bishop will look at you like, are you sure? Yes. Why are you sure? You now spiritualize it. As I was praying last night, my spirit began to, I saw myself. You didn't tell him the Holy Spirit said, just I saw myself. Now you conjure yourself. The man will not, I've seen people like that too. They've gone, look, one man I met in the north some time ago, that's what he told me. He joined the church so that they could post him to the north. And if you're not posting him, he's resigning. The Lord has so worked in him. He was the one that wanted. Are you getting my point here? That is a fact. It's not hard. So each time, God is just saying one thing to you. And I'm convinced one of the major things he's saying to Christians in at least in our country today is, listen, go and learn the word. Many people don't know the word of God. No, they don't. Many people have learned methods. Their Christianity is about methods. If you want something from God, this is what you do. That is half of the knowledge a lot of people have, which is faulty knowledge. That's what they call Christianity. And if you tell them that, it doesn't work. They've practiced like that for the last 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes 15, 20 years. So if you come to them and say, that's not how it works, you are telling them they have wasted their time, all right? They've been wasting time for the last 20 years. But the fact is that if you are wasting your time, you are wasting your time. Me telling you now is not what's changing it. Or it's not what is causing it. What a lot of people know is that if I want from God, I do this. If I need this, I do this. If I need this one, I do that one. That's all they know. So they keep on accumulating methods. I told you once, I was somewhere, a man was preaching. He said, we have given, we have not seen the result. We have tithed, we have not seen the result. We have given first fruits, we have not seen the result. So I now began to pray. I said, God, what is still missing? And the Lord said, you have not yet serviced your prophet. So can you see, he's adding one thing to the other. Why? He's waiting for prosperity. When he gave, it was so that it would be multiplied. When he tithed, it was so that God would rebuild the devourer and pour him an abundance that he will not be able to hold. But he had not seen it. If he had come to me, I would have told him that it's not necessary. I would have explained to him that if you want to do good works, do it the good works because God has given it to you to do. Not because you want to get something from him. But when nothing worked, he finally said that he prayed and the Lord said to him, he hasn't yet serviced his prophet. Should I tell you something? There's nothing like that. Christians have learned a lot of methods. They even learned methods of how to wake up at 2 a.m. and be fighting spiritual battles that's not theirs to fight. I know the truth is pure what? Ignorance. I believe one primary thing the Lord is saying to us, and the second one, of course, which I talked about earlier, depart from iniquity. Iniquity has been normalized in a lot of our churches. Those are just the two things I think he's saying to us now into this church. Go and learn the word. You know, he said, don't be ignorant. You know, somebody sent something to us, you know, into a chat group I belong to. And of course, they said, comment, pastor, comment. You know that kind of thing. Pastor, comment. So I gave him an answer. But let me tell you what the fellow talked about. The fellow talked about how his life, his family was messed up, torn apart. He was a child that time. After 18 years of marriage, his parents divorced. He was a child. I think he left with his mother or her. I don't know whether it's a he or a her. All right, left with the mother. And said, I didn't know my father much, but I knew he was well-educated. He was a chartered accountant. The mother had an MSc. The mother had the master's. The man was doing well. Now, listen to me. They had 8 children. 8 kids. This guy was like maybe the last or maybe one away from the last. But they had 8 children. Now, what is the issue? Listen to this. One day, the father had some problems. Like I said, it happens to us in the wife. People can have problems. Not a big deal. Then the father, they were Catholics. They joined them, Redeem. According to him or her, that Redeem was not hot enough for the mother. So she went to MFM. And then the father needed a solution to their problems. He went to one white garment church somewhere in Lagos. The MFM people, the MFM pastor in that branch in Lagos said to the mother that your husband is an occultist. Yeah, that's the story. Your husband is an occultist, and that the reason why he lost his job and had problems some years ago was because he was not offering regular sacrifices. And to make up for the lost time, he offered your eldest daughter. And that's why your daughter died. Are you getting that? Then when the man went, they said, your wife and 5 of your remaining 7 children are witches. And they have been sent to come and destroy you because you are the only one that has made progress in your extended family. The man believed, the woman believed. 2 of them returned to the same home. War began. I don't need to give you details. Okay, I don't have the details, but you can easily imagine the kind of war zone the home became. Of course, the divorce is understandable. When I told my wife said, are they so stupid? I said, baby, don't say that. I said, you are talking like this because the word of God has liberated you. I mean, it sounds so strange to the ears that somebody can believe that. But the truth is that it only sounds strange because you have been liberated by the word of God. People believe that every day. It's very painful. The amount of ignorance people are having to deal with these days. And people will go and they'll be praying. Listen, this is the letter of Jesus to the church today. Go and learn the word. An average Christian of today does not understand the meaning of the death of Jesus Christ. That's why they'll still believe if I need to give so that God can prosper me. Spiritual ignorance. They still call their offering the sacrifice for their prosperity. And Jesus is looking at them and wondering, which part of me did not die when I was on the cross? No, Jesus is wondering. In today's day and age, Christians are still redeeming their firstborn. Today's day. After Jesus has died. Not only did he die, he died and remained dead for 3 days. Then to show that he was finished with the death process, he rose up again from the dead. The depth of ignorance is frightening. That's why some of these guys still thrive. Churches fill up. When familiar spirits are operating and Christians can't see it, they will be arguing with you whether T.B. Joshua is a man of God or is not. You see Christians? Your pastor says he's flying and he's jamming your enemies for you and you are going to that church. You just wonder sometimes. You know, you will wonder and say, look, what is going on? The one that did not turn on you that, who are you to criticize? You will know who I am to criticize. And they tell you you are judging. Like I always say, I have a duty to save not only myself, but those who listen to me. The word of God for this season, Christians, is go and learn. Go and learn. That moment, when my wife and I were talking, I told my wife, listen, the reason why you find this so ridiculous is that God has taught you and has built you up. That's the reason why I talk the way I talk. That is why I have never, never opened my mouth and prayed against witches who are pursuing me. If you don't have any other job but pursuing me, please continue. Because you'll be there for a very long time. Poverty will be following you because you are not working again. Look, it's for me, it's not an issue. And like I said to us before, here, that knowledge, spiritually speaking, is not intellectual information, it's power. Neville Johnson said that the realm of the spirit is full of colors. That they had Neville Johnson. Can Satan, can demons read your mind? Neville Johnson said they don't have to. That it's unnecessary. That the state of your heart shows on your body as your color. That when you are moving, when there's fear, they can smell it, they can see it. When there's confidence, when there's boldness of righteousness, it shows. They don't have to read your mind. That's why I said to Christians, knowledge is spiritual power. When you know the truth, it sets you free. You have not even prayed with it, you just know it. You just become aware of that information. And that's the spiritual power is impacted to you and your life changes. The letter of the Lord Jesus to today's church, especially coming from this our country, Nigeria, and spread to the rest of Africa, is go and get knowledge. Know the truth so you can be free. Most of your prayers have no effect. Most of your giving is a waste of time. Two important things I just said there. Most prayers Christians pray today have no effect. And most of the money they give is useless. It doesn't bless anybody because there's no positive spirit behind it. It doesn't bless them because the seed was dead on arrival. And every day, ministers learn how to make merchandise of the people. Depleting spiritual resources. That is, the financial resources in the body of Christ being wasted. I was talking with one man the other day. You know, a pastor was in my house a few days ago. And he was describing the cathedral. They are building, you know, all the money, God, remove the sense in their heads, they sink into those concrete iron rod. Yes. And bigger cars. Where God could have taken them to, from one point to the other, comfortably, the money is there, is good. He could have used a very fine, maybe let's use a big car, a Land Cruiser. God, the Satan inside them will say, no, you are a big man. It has to be a Bentley. Is Bentley bad? No, it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. But when Satan says they've collected money that shouldn't do them or the giver good, he will deplete the resources for nothing. After he buys the Bentley, he realizes I can't maintain it. So all the offerings he has collected is wasted. Because of what? Ignorance. There's a lot of waste going on right now in the body of Christ. Prayer wastage. A friend of mine went to church in one night. They had about 400 and something prayer points. And if you see most of the prayer points, there are things I've seen. Enemies of destiny. Enemy of progress. Enemies of future. Enemy of tomorrow. Yeah, the same thing. It's destiny, tomorrow, future. Every power speaking against my destiny. Then nothing. Now these are the people. What will happen to them? First 1 minute, die by fire. Second, fall and scatter. Somersault and dissolve. You spend one whole night on this kind of prayer point. Believe me, the Lord is angry with you. You have wasted his time. He would have preferred if you slept. The man who drank 2 bottles before sleeping that night has done more of the will of God than you. That is, he took 2 bottles and sent himself to a drunken sleep. God said, look, keep him safe. When he wakes up in the morning, he will recover. He has not done anything spiritually that's going to injure anybody. But this one has gone out one whole night. Some of us feeling very righteous. We don't know what God is thinking. A lot of prayer wasted. Why? Ignorance. I can feel the Lord Jesus saying, I know your ignorance. Repent and acquire knowledge. Otherwise, I'm coming out. I'm coming to your church, closing the church, and flogging all of you one by one. And as for the prosperity you claim I gave to you, I'll collect it back just to prove that I'm not happy. Why? There's too much ignorance outside there. So they now make it look as if following the Lord Jesus is hard. I get mails all the time, once in a while. Last year, I gave my January salary. I almost died in February. Sir, what am I going to do this year? Sometimes I want to just delete some of those messages, but don't disturb my soul. It's your money. Do anything you like with it. The yoke has become difficult, and the burden is now heavy. And the cause is simple. People are too ignorant. They are afraid. And what's the cause of the fear? Ignorance again. It's ignorance. It's all ignorance. And I'm asking Christians, listen, this is the word of the Lord Jesus to you. Go and acquire knowledge. One day, I need to pray about it. Israel, really, seriously. We'll settle down, draw a serious curriculum. I'm serious. So we'll start teaching people Bible. I'll gather people, look, just start learning. Just even know the letters of the Bible first. Know why there are sacrifices. No. So that when people, next time somebody tells you sacrifice, you know what the sacrifice is. Know who paid. I like one series by Derek Prince. The all-sufficient sacrifice. A whole series on the all-sufficient sacrifice. Analyzing the blood of Jesus. The meaning of the cross. The high priest. Trying to show to people that Jesus has paid it all. Like I was saying, Christianity is not hard. It's just that we put our energies in wrong places. People become, they become weary of doing good. So the reward is supposed to come for doing good. They never get it. They've gotten tired. Why? Somebody promised them what God never promised. A woman sat with me here one day. She said, why am I spending my money on medicine after I paid my tithe? I felt like I said, madam, that is why. It is that tight money that's giving you all this problem. All these problems, that is why. But you know, it's things you can't say as a pastor. You'll be thinking it inside your soul. But the surface will be smiling and say it is well. And you're wondering, say, how did the tight money give people problems? It is simple. It gave them false confidence. Instead of them, when they are sick, to fight the good fight of faith, and take the word of God, hold on to that which is life indeed, and say, revive me according to your word. And instead of them to take the word and declare it over their body, they are wondering, is my tithe not complete? That's what the problem is. Many times when God has given you something, he says, fight for it. He said, I have given you this land. Now begin to contend with the people there in battle. I told you I went to Lagos to preach. I finished preaching like this, along those lines. One woman came to me at the end of the day and said, sir, I just want to tell you that thing you preached happened to me. Said she woke up one day and pain in her leg, I think her foot or somewhere. She could not walk. She went to see the doctor. The doctor gave her a prescription. I don't know whether she bought the medicine. And listen, this is somebody who could afford the medicine. But he said that no. She looked at the medicine and said, if I start, she wasn't sure when this medicine thing will stop. So she decided to go and fight for her health with the word of God. She said, sir, I took my Bible and went on a retreat just to heal a pain in the leg. Said when I got to that retreat, they had a program. Said that first day, the preacher said something. Said I knew straight that I was healed. He said, but I left the place, no physical change. Said, but I knew I had got it. So I came back home and I kept on declaring the word of God over myself every day. So one day I realized that I didn't know when last I felt the pain. Are you getting my point? That the pain when she forgot it used to be there. So one day she said, oh wait, so I used to have one particular pain in a particular area. That's how she fought for her right. She wasn't arguing with God that didn't you count your money? Maybe pastor didn't deliver it. I counted it for him. No, she didn't do that. That was the same church I told you. I told the story then when I first came back. One woman who I spoke with at length there, one of the officials, she said, in my family, I'm the only person who is not on antihypertensives. Say, my father was hypertensive, my mother was hypertensive, all my siblings are on antihypertensive drugs. Say, I'm the only person not taking antihypertensives in my whole family. I said, madam, tell me about it. Say, simple. He said, if I ever check my blood pressure, and I see that he has gone up, I know something is wrong. So I start thinking. Lord, what am I worried about? Ah, he said, no. I start introspecting. I start praying, declaring God's word, resting. He said, my blood pressure always returns to normal. Somebody said in the family, they used to tell her that she was the odd one. Now she's the only person that has a normal blood pressure and is not taking any blood pressure medicine. That's what I mean when I say people put their hope in wrong things. A woman was critically sick. Pastor went to see her. He said, after all, I gave my land to church. Why should I be sick? Is it not because they lied to her? Christians, they love to believe those lies. I'm saying to you today again, you can never buy any blessing with your offering. You can't. All your blessings are in Christ Jesus. All of them. When you give, it's a sign of you're a Christian. Let me put it like that. Your father is a giver, so you're a giver. You are not afraid. Read my tract, Cheerful Giver. I keep on recommending it. Read that tract 10 times. I understand what it means to be a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is not doing it because he wants something back. A cheerful giver is giving because he has faith. She has faith. She knows that God has taken care of my life. He knows that whatever God gives me today is his own. I'm a custodian. And inside there's food for there's seed for the sower and bread for food. So a believer is a responsible, you know, manager of resources. That's the word. He's a responsible manager of resources. So God says, listen, this is money for this. I sit down in my house. I decided, look, these are the things that need to be done. And I portion the money appropriately. The message of Jesus for the churches for this season, those two things I've pointed out. Number one, most importantly, go and learn. Learn the word of God. Learn God's word. Learn the doctrines of the Lord Jesus. It costs time, it costs money, it costs energy. Listen to me. You can't do it going to church only on Sundays. Or even coming here only on Saturdays. No. 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 See the way those want to lose weight. Do you see the way they wake up every morning? Running around like Satan, like Aquara Square. Every day they are there running up and down. Those who want deliverance from ignorance, that's what you need to do too. It's a daily affair. People have no compunction with gathering family and disappearing, going abroad for 1 week, 2 weeks. Listen, you know what God says? Gather that same money, nothing less. Go somewhere quiet. Go to where you can hear the word of God. Listen, to kill your ignorance, it will cost you money. Oh, it will cost you money. It will cost you money. In fact, it is... Now, I want to say something funny. It is unfairly cheap now. Because everything is on the internet. Books that we had to look for money to buy those days. Nice. Click of a button. You use Flash Share. Wi-Fi Direct. For Samsung people. Just move up and down. When I was looking for... Journalism, that Dawi story. When I was looking for that story. I read a book long ago. I bought it from a friend of mine, something like almost 20 years ago. So a few years ago, I was not looking for the book. I said, I need to get this book. I went online. Do you know the only place where I found it? Amazon had it. Amazon US had it for, they say it's a classic, for $200. Brand new books are $15. New releases, $15 to $20. They said $200. Ah! I thought to myself, $200. I didn't just show the web page. I kept on looking. $200. Ah, harder. $200. Hi. Because I needed to read the book. And finally, an idea just entered my mind. I just said, check Amazon UK. So I went to Amazon UK. Found it for £10. £10. I called a friend of mine in the UK. I said, please buy this book. I sent the link to him. Buy me this book. He was coming home the following week. He said, it may not arrive before I travel. I said, it doesn't matter. At least it'll be in your house. I will know it is there. I'll get it one day. When I came to the airport here to pick him up, he handed me the book. See the rejoicing of my soul. And I said, no, that is a gift. So I didn't have to refund him his £10. Know the funny thing? I read the book. One day I was making noise about it like this. Somebody said, okay, forward it to me. PDF free. I don't regret that one, but this was even long after. Those books that we used to search everywhere from up and down, they are now free. People are sharing. So that's why I said it's in quote, unfairly easy now. So you have no excuse. Like I said last time, God holds you personally responsible for your life. If an old prophet is deceiving you, God says you want to be deceived. He says you want to be deceived. You want to be deceived. That's why old prophets are still deceiving Christians till today. They love deception. I can't force you to agree with me. I can't force you to obey what I'm saying. But one day I can ask you, you can settle down and study for yourself. And one day come to your own conclusion. Listen, let me speak for the Lord Jesus. He's tired. He's tired of the insults. And he's tired of his people tolerating them. And they tell you that witches are after you. Tell the person, obviously they don't have work. Tell the witches to go and chase money. They will prosper like that. As for chasing me, it will help them. I've told this story many times. A friend of mine, the family, the couple, my friends, our brethren, their son died. A neighbor came and said, "We have found who killed your child." And the woman started laughing. She said, "Madam, come and start going. Thank you very much for your help. Just for your, for emphasis, a witch cannot kill my child." Told the woman, "Neighbor, Satan. Satan sent that one to come and confuse the family." Like the story I read to you now, that I just narrated to you. One person died, the whole family was ruined. A family of 10, one person died, 9 living people were ruined. Why? They believed a lie. If it was somebody like my friend, they would have laughed. And said, "My husband is a ritualist. He killed one." And you start laughing. So that he can prosper. Okay, now picking now. You go laugh. "Madam, he will kill the rest too. Let him eat them if he can." You just laugh about it and say, "My pastor, go away. Don't find another job." Say, "My God, who cannot protect me from ritualists? You should go and find another job." I found that in Pluto, they are looking for gods over there. Let him drop his application. You know, there are gods that should drop application. I said, "That look, how should you be sleeping when your enemies are not sleeping?" I said, "Because my God does not sleep. That is why I sleep. If my God cannot do his job of being awake, he should send the application somewhere else. That is a matter of fact. That's how I reason. The God that needs my enemies to die before he can bless me, he doesn't have a job. He should have gone for this last Mecca pilgrimage. Maybe they will give him a job there. Because he's not my own God. My own God, he doesn't care who is alive or who is dead. He said, I prepare a table in the presence of those enemies. I want to, you know, he's the original toying God. He wants to do toying to them. I have blessed my children. What can you do about it?" He said, "No, don't die yet. Don't die yet. If you die now, we won't have who to rejoice over. Sit down here and watch me bless people. That's my God. He's not afraid of anybody. When it's night season, he said, Banky, go to sleep. Because their blessings are only released when you are asleep." That's what he says. That's the God I serve, not the one that needs another job. You need to get knowledge so that people won't be tossing you up and down. Like I said, let me, you know where I began this from? That following God is not hard. It's where we put our energy that's the problem. Christians do religion, such a matter. I wonder, do you know what Christianity is? Jesus died to free us from many of the things we are, you know, pushing ourselves into on a daily basis. That was the primary reason he died. He said, "I don't want them to continue living like this." He has said, "Look, I walk in his freedom. If I give money, it's because I want to give money. Nobody can force me to give. God will not force me to give. I don't calculate any percentage for him. I don't buy any blessing from him." We have been studying Psalm 119. Not been around. Please get the messages. Psalm 119, that's my life. Teach me your word. Incline my heart to your statutes. Give me understanding. Help me to obey you. That's all. I don't do deals with God. People say make vows. I don't make him any vow. I almost mistakenly made a vow yesterday. I had to tell him I'm sorry. And I was in what you would call a trivial thing. I had to tell him, say, "Lord, sorry. That's not a promise. If it was a promise, I withdraw it. I don't make him promises." When you make promise, now you start breaking it. If I find what I'm supposed to do, I will open my Bible and say, "Lord, this is a good thing to do. Help me to do it." Because when I'm making him promises, I'm thinking I have strength. When I'm making promises, I'm thinking I know how to. What I do is I make requests. I say, "Wow, this is what the Bible says. Lord, this, I like this. Help me to do it. I receive it in the name of Jesus. This word is working in me. It's working in me. Obedience is working in me. That's all I say. I don't tell the lie. I promise you from today, I will pray 5 times a day. Believe me. You say that as a Christian, it's 10 days later you will remember that prayer. Have you not experienced it? It's 10 days later, you will remember that, Lord, I promise you I will pray 5 times a day. Okay, Lord, I will continue, but okay. The Lord will now say, what about my arrears? Okay, let's do like this. I will pray 6 times a day. After 10 days, we'll have covered up. The Lord said, no problem, start. Then 3 days later, you fall sick. When you wake up, God is waiting. I'm waiting for my prayer. Say, Lord, but you saw I was sick. Now, did you say unless I fall sick? And after a while, you look and say, Lord, I'm sorry. What are you sorry about? For thinking I can obey you with my own strength. God said, good, I hereby forgive you. Now, what do you want? Say, Lord, you said pray without ceasing. I love to pray all the time. You now say, grace to pray all the time. Receive it. You will say, amen. Then nobody can stop you praying anymore. You just find yourself praying all the time. You are in the bathroom. Father will give you thanks. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You are speaking in tongues. You are just looking at them. They say, eat now. You say, I'm coming. They say, give thanks for food. Father, I thank you. Who? Food. You are good. This is food you produce. Hallelujah. 1 hour later, I say, don't ask that guy to pray again. They will say, you pray too much. I say, me? I don't pray. Do I pray? You won't even know you are praying. Why? Because by himself, the Lord had worked praying into your system. So that's why I don't make him promises. I don't make promises. I have plans. I have plans. I have desires. I commit even my good desires to the Lord in prayer. I say, Lord, work it out in me. Because sometimes my good desires, he doesn't even like them. They just look good to me. Do you know that? Listen. Oh, the Lord is good. I have to end the message today. End the message now. But what I wanted to preach today, I didn't get there. We're reading, right? Did you finish reading? Let's finish reading. Do that. I just remembered now. The Lord is good. Oh, no. That's the message of Jesus for this season. All right? We need to learn again and pray effective prayers. We have to learn his word so that we can pray effectively. It needs also, believe me. I am convinced more than before. Nigeria and a lot of African countries, they are very, very crucial to God in this season. If we don't get it right, the whole earth is doomed. Because the Ika has boarded in many countries. You know what it means for Ika to board? The glory has departed. You look all over Europe. Glory has melted. I heard prophecies, even concerning North America. And I see Christians sometimes, when Christians want to make decisions, sometimes they make me laugh. They amaze me. You know you don't believe when you start making decisions that show that material things matter more to you than spiritual things. That's when you know your faith is dead. When people want to tell my children, they will be talking about raising their children where education is good. What do they call education that is good? You know, when Christians talk sometimes, you are ashamed of them before the Father and his holy angels. They say education is good. What do you call education that is good? No, let's ask ourselves, what is good education? They say, ASUU goes on strike in Nigeria. So what? So what? When they go on strike, they end the strike after a while. Listen, the longest strike that we ever experienced in this country was not caused by us, it was caused by the federal government. I was a student that time, 89, SAP riots. 5 months straight, Babangida shut us down. 5 straight months. I was a student in 89, Babangida shut us down. Everybody was going to was it in Abuja or Lagos that time, the damn barracks? I don't know whether, okay, I moved to Abuja. Going to Abuja to go and beg him. See, I agree. At the end of 5 months was when he finally released us. Has that removed anything from me today? What's all the noise? People talk about, when they talk about good education, it irritates your body. So when you get there, the school, somebody told me the other day that one guy came from Canada and he was in Enugu, he was talking, that his children, when they entered that school, the children were behind. And listen. We trained in Nigeria here. Almost half of my classmates are in UK and US. Almost half. They are not behind in anything. They take those exams. What are you saying? Nigerians are the most educated group of people in the United States of America. What are you talking about? They'll be lying to you. It is natural when a child changes environment for the first 1 year, he's going to have a problem. First, he can't even hear his teachers. You don't realize that. The first 1 year, they can't hear the teachers talk. First time I went to the U.S., I went for a course. Listen, I've been speaking English all my life. When they said, if you have English, your first second language, I said, no, English is my first language. That's how you know that English is my first language. Anything you talk to God in is your first language. And I want to talk to the Lord, I speak in English. I cannot quote 3 verses of scripture apart from in English. But the first time I went to the U.S., my father in heaven, I went for a course. I was going to work there for 5 weeks. When I got to the hospital, I was supposed to work. Good to know my brother-in-law was there. So the woman said, you look for Mr. Wood. That's what I heard. So my brother-in-law said, so we got there. He said we should look for Mr. Wood. He said no. She said, Miss Stewart. I said, no, she said Mr. Wood. What I heard was Mr. Wood. So it got to a point that, no, because it was a big hospital, so we needed to get direction. He went with me to show me the place. So what was I doing? When they finished talking, I turned to him. I said, take her, interpret. And they spoke English. I will turn to him, I say, interpret. And they were speaking English. As at that time, I had published nothing less than 10 books in English. Yet I couldn't hear them talking. Are you getting my point? So now imagine a child enter that kind of said scenario. The first 1 year, he can't hear what they are saying. And not tell him that education back home is bad. What nonsense are you talking about? My message is that, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? What is more important to you? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. People tell me that ASUU does not go on strike. You know, this kind of thing. Listen, Oral Roberts said the worst mistake of his life was sending his son to Stanford. In case you don't know, Stanford is where Google came out of. These top tech companies, they come out of Stanford. Oral Roberts said the worst mistake of my life was sending my first son to Stanford because the boy was brilliant. Everybody said he would do well in life. He will go far. He said, okay, let's send him to the best school. They sent him to Stanford. Well, Robert said, why could I not see that they will erode the foundation of his faith? The boy returned from Stanford, doubting everything about God. A short while later, they found he was addicted to drugs. Then one day, got a phone call. Police found him dead. He had killed himself. Oral Roberts, world-renowned evangelist, healing minister, built a Christian university. He said that was the worst mistake of my life. What's wrong with Christians? You'll not be bragging when you get to the U.S. For goodness sake, these people start by telling your children there is no God. And to you, it does not matter. Once they can graduate in 4 years and give him a bachelor's in engineering, bachelor's in medicine, or bachelor's in something. To you, it's okay. No. I don't care whether it takes you next 6 years to give you a 4-year degree, you will stay in your neck. Where in the evening you go to fellowship, this is the day that the Lord, I'm telling you. I mean, that was what I enjoyed on campus. Listen to me, as a teenager, I was preaching the gospel to a congregation. I was still in my teens when I began to head a campus fellowship. That's what I appreciate. As I reading Kenneth Hagin as a habit by the time I was 15. That is what I call education. When I finished University of Benin, my friend who went to Baptist seminary, he said, you challenged me to read my Bible. That is what I call education. That has not made me less a doctor than anybody else. It hasn't. I'm able to balance spiritual things and physical things. I read advanced physics now, and it does not erode one bit from my faith. I laugh at them because my Bible speaks farther ahead than they are able to discover. My faith is unshakable now. I took time out to build my foundation. Don't export your children to where the first thing they teach them that there is no God. They teach them foolishness and you are impressed. I told that church I went to preach in Lagos. One of the rich men there, big men. These are men who served God when they were in school, but they made that mistake. The man's son wrote him back one day and said to him, "Dad, your faith was good enough for you, but I don't need it." That man, as an old man, his heart was broken. An SU man. Not those who went to SU. Your son writes you and says to you, "Your faith was good for you, but I don't need it." You call that education? What's wrong with us? If you don't want to believe in God, it's not compulsory. But please, if you want to serve the Lord Jesus, what is the big deal about power failure? As it goes on strike, they will come back. Okay? Listen to me. Covenant University is as good for its first degree as anywhere you get any course they offer you. You don't like that? Go to Yola. Atiku built one there too. And two days ago, I said, "God bless Dangote." When Bishop told me that, "Did you hear that the man is building a university?" I said, "Good." What is wrong with us? Even you hear Christians talk sometimes, you're just wondering. And that time that I believe in God prosperity because they pay tithe and offering, your offering perish with you. Rubbish talk. You can't trust this God in anything. You rush to places where God has placed a curse upon. Sadhu Savarai said, the angel said to him that California is worse than Nineveh, worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. You hear Christians talking, you just get irritated. Believe me, I have no compunction with trekking into eternity. What's the car? When you hear them talk. Sometimes I told my wife, I laughed. My wife said, "What's funny?" I said, "I just imagine angels looking at us as we are struggling over toys. And we think it's advancement." Crap. Listen, God has ordained everybody for a particular place. Don't let demon spirit drive you up and down. You have to be mission-minded. You can't be comfort-minded in life. You have to be mission-minded. Let's finish reading this so we can close. I got stuck on that verse 14. When he said, "I have a few things against you," I was trying to say that God is just asking you us for a few things at each point in time. Always a few things. He said, because you have some who hold the teaching of Balaam, for time's sake, I'm just going to jump. And then he said, as a result, they eat things, sacrifice to idols, and commit acts of immorality. Verse 15, so you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, he says, this is what I have for you. This is what I want from you. Repent, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. You as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, what I wanted to teach before, this was what I was getting to. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but the one who receives it. To the angel of the church of Thyatira, write this. The Son of God says this. You can say I'm rushing. I know your deeds and your faith and your love and faith and service and perseverance. And that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Remember, God holds you responsible for what you tolerate. Who calls herself a prophetess? And she teaches and leads my bond servants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. He said, I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent. Now, this is what I'm going to do. I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who join her in this adultery thing, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know who I am. Just summarizing. In 24, he said, but I say to you, the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold the teaching, who have not known the so-called deep things of Satan, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and I shall rule them with the rod of iron. As the
vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star, and all of that. Now, I wanted to explain something here, but I'll get to it later, if the Lord permitting me. And what I want to explain is the fact that, you know, last time I ended by explaining that people depart from serving God for a few reasons, not too many reasons. Number one reason, even though they have seen the wonders of God, they departed from following God for a number of reasons. One, this is why people run away. One, the Lord does not grant our requests as quickly as we would have wanted him to grant. Are you getting my point? You want something now, he may not give you immediately. Even though spiritually he has answered you that day, you may not see that manifestation for the next 5 years. Sometimes you don't see it for 10 years. There are different things, okay? So God does not always give us what we want. One of the problems with following God is that he demands patience from us. It is true, there are different ways you can inherit promises. You can inherit promises through labor. You can inherit promises different ways. You can inherit promises through negotiating. But the Bible says, be followers of those who use one particular method, which is what? Faith and patience. Many people don't have that patience side of it. Saul lost out because God tested him on patience. 7 days, all right, I will come. 7 days, before the 7 day was over, the Lord deliberately made Samuel wait to see whether Saul will wait. As soon as Saul was due with disobeying God, Samuel came in. And God said, this day I will have established, that is speaking through Samuel. Said, today the Lord will have established your kingdom. But now, forget it. That is, the test of patience is a major problem. It's a major problem. People can't wait. But Satan will say, bow to me now, I give you now. That is number one reason people depart from God and follow Satan. The second reason why people do that is because God, why he's telling you to wait, he's watching you. He said, walk before me and be perfect. He's watching you. He speaks about your conduct. Walking with God puts restrictions on you. Walking with God puts restrictions on what you can do. He puts restrictions on who you can relate with. He puts restrictions on even how you spend your money. And many times, we don't like those restrictions. So many times, we don't like. That's why people follow, the opposite, all right? Now, so we said that when Christians follow that, things apart from the Lord Jesus, they end up committing immoralities and eating things sacrificed to idol. We talked about that at that time, all right? Now, but what I want to bring out is that these things that they are pursuing, okay, which is the reason why they forsake the Lord, these things that Jezebel was showing them. For example, the way by which Christians get results is called grace. Sometimes, we believe in prosperity. Somebody say amen. If you believe, say amen.
Amen.
It's a promise. If you believe that, say amen. But how do you get it? There are different methods. You can get prosperity from hustling. You can get prosperity from breaking the rules of God. You can get prosperity different ways. But the only one that will endure, the only one that God will accept as he being the one that gave to you, is the one that comes into your life through what? Faith and patience. Church usually cannot do that. Because patience means patience. Patience just means patience. It means that you can believe for prosperity today, and God says, all right, fine, you will manage for the next 10 years. It doesn't mean prosperity is not working. It just has its own season in your life. Sometimes what you actually see as a vision, it happens a lot, all right, is for another generation. It happens a lot. Pai Elton saw visions concerning Nigeria. The things he saw are still evolving today. So that's the issue with patience. So that's why we cannot afford to set prosperity in front of us. We cannot afford to set any other thing in front of us apart from Christ Jesus alone. Are you getting my point? Then those things start working out. Now, what I wanted to bring out, okay, is that those things people depart from God to get, that's what Jesus was promising to those who overcome. I don't know what I heard I said. The things that people will follow the doctrines of Jezebel so as to get, those were the very things the Lord Jesus was promising to those who will overcome. Two things he said there. One, he said, I will give them a white stone, or literally a shining stone, like a diamond. It's not color white as in just white, but a brilliant stone. And then on it, I will write for them a new name. Now, anytime you see the name, the word name in scriptures is authority, is a rank. Let me give you an example. Christians may be hustling. Let's make it in money. So instead of focusing on the word of God, they focus on business principles, motivational speaking, all kinds of things. But if they are focused on God, it will get to a time when they've gone through the trials, the tests, everything, and they had remained faithful to his name,
Then he will give them a name that nobody knows apart from them. Are you getting my point? What does that mean? They will be having effect outside. Nobody knows who's causing the problem. God gives power to people who can decide what's going on in an economy. It's what God called a name that nobody knows but the person who has it. I don't know whether you got that. People will sit in a country and decide who rules, who can't rule, laws that can be passed and laws that cannot be passed. And you will never suspect. Why? Because they have a name that nobody knows apart from the person that has it. You see that what Jesus is going for are people that can hold authority for him on the earth. He said that, listen, because of the authority I have with my Father, I am going to give them authority. And look at what he said they will do, verse 27. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. I will give them authority over the nations. Are you seeing that? Like I said the other time, both this church in Thyatira and the one in Pergamum, essentially the same things he said to them using different words. He said, I will give them authority over the nations and they will rule with a rod of iron. As the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, that is, a potter takes an iron rod and breaks vessels to pieces. That is how I will give human beings, my people, authority to rule over the nations. You know what I'm preaching? He is finding it so hard to find such people. And that's why the word has to go out in this season. That's why he has to push the church. It's part of a church that doesn't have, that all they can do is political campaign, activism, join, you know, political group and be making noise. They are supposed to have authority to rule nations from their bedrooms because they have a name that nobody knows apart from them. Are you getting my point? But listen, you know, contrary to what we thought those when we were children, we thought once you give your life to Christ, he just hands out the power. No, it's not like that. You pass through trial, you pass through testing, you pass through pruning, you pass through the place where God has shown you to be faithful. That's when he starts handing out power to people. I hope you've gotten my point. What I said in the last few minutes, last 10 minutes, is what I wanted to preach the whole day. But it went the way it went. I hope it's okay. So we hope we'll do this one next time. Let's bow our heads to pray. Let's thank the Lord. Let's thank the Lord for his word. Say, Lord, thank you. Now, just pray a simple prayer. Say, Lord, help me to follow you simply. I ask you, Lord, to give me knowledge. Give me understanding. Now, that's what we said. That's the message for the church in this season. Too much walking in ignorance. Say, Lord, help me by giving me knowledge. I said, look, you can't even promise anything. So just say, Lord, help me to love you. Help me to go after knowledge. I desire it. That's what he wants. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Say, Lord, I desire it. I desire to know. I desire to know. I desire to know. I desire to know. Lord, fulfill that hunger of my heart. Satisfy it. Say a simple prayer. Say, Lord, satisfy it. Satisfy this hunger of my heart. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed.